The Big C, a test of my faith. I really wanted Shayna to meet Irene as soon as possible. My sons had met Irene, but not Shayna, so I arranged for her to fly from London to Johannesburg over the Easter period. She landed at O.R. Tambo International Airport in Johannesburg, and I met her, hugged her, and promptly whisked her off to the domestic departures terminal, where we boarded a plane to Durban. We drove from there to meet Irene on the north coast of KwaZulu-Natal. Stephen and Jamie also joined us. It was wonderful for the kids to see each other again, as Shayna is close to Stephen and Jamie. We had a fantastic time together. Shayna loved the space and she got on really well with Irene. Shayna is a spiritual person, always seeking a great understanding. Irene spent a lot of time with her, teaching her about crystals, healing, and how to pray and ask God for answers. On the Sunday morning, they were upstairs in Irene's crystal room, and apparently Shayna started inquiring about baptism. I was downstairs in the kitchen preparing breakfast when Shayna came down. "Dad, can I ask you a favor?" she asked. "Sure, sweetheart. Will you please baptize me?" For a second, I was speechless. I looked at her and noticed Irene standing behind her, looking at me, smiling and nodding her head. I'm not sure why, but I said, "Of course I will. It'll be my honor." What did I know about baptizing anyone? I've never done this before. I had no idea how and where to start, but somehow I had already committed myself to doing so. I asked Irene for help, so she found all the relevant scriptures in the Bible, while I told them all that I needed some quiet time to pray and meditate. I went into the bedroom and got on my knees and prayed to God for guidance and wisdom. I read all the scriptures several times. I memorized the questions I needed to ask Shayna and the words I should say, which Irene had written down for me. After a while, we went outside and Shayna and I got into the freezing cold pool together, and I baptized her. It was the most special, amazing feeling, not just because I had somehow been given this special privilege to baptize someone, but because that someone was my beloved daughter. How blessed am I? A week or so later, back in Johannesburg, I went to see a dermatologist about a growth in the left side of my neck, just below my ear and next to my jaw. It had become a little larger over the last few months, and it was a little itchy. The doctor said it was probably a cyst of some sorts and nothing to worry about. I left there feeling uncomfortable, so I decided to make an appointment with my doctor, a GP. When she felt it, she said I should see this specialist who was regarded as one of the best in his field. When I eventually got to see him, he felt it and said straight away that it appeared malignant, but even if it wasn't, it had to be removed. Either way, he had to operate. He said he would do a biopsy immediately and send it for testing. He hauled out his needles and tricks of the trade. I decided to let him know that I normally need a fair bit of local anaesthetic, as for some reason my body does not react to it too well. He simply told me that by the time he was finished injecting me with local anaesthetic, it would be just as painful as doing it without it. Without further ado, he stuck this long needle into my neck without bothering about the local. Damn, but that was painful. He jigged about and extracted what he needed and promptly confirmed his initial diagnosis that it was malignant, based on the fact that he could now feel it. We then sat down and he explained the operation to me. He would cut me up from the top of my left ear in the front, down to the bottom of my ear, back around to the back of my ear, down my neck and around towards my throat, ending up at my Adam's apple. He showed me some pictures, which were pretty gross. He said that the operation took between 4 and 5 hours, as it was microscopic surgery, and they had to work around all the facial nerves, which are located on the side of your neck. He said that there was a risk of total facial paralysis, but it was unlikely. But there was a high risk of some permanent paralysis to some of the nerves, which might affect your lips. In fact, he said that there would be a 90% chance of my suffering permanent paralysis of my bottom lip. I asked him, If this was the bad news, then is the good news the fact that you're going to give me an anesthetic for the operation? He laughed, which to me was a good sign, as I'd hate to have offended him, as I was shortly to place my life and my looks in his hands. Some doctors just don't like smart asses. The test was sent off for analysis, and a few days later I was back to see him to see how clever he was. Very clever, it turns out. I had what is a fairly rare form of cancer. How surprising, nothing mainstream ever for me, called adenoid cystic carcinoma. He sent me down for some MRI scans, and I returned with the results a little later. He told me he wanted to operate in the next couple of days. I asked him what would happen if I chose not to have the operation, but he simply said it would not be a smart move. Based on the analysis and scans, it was a very aggressive form of cancer and would only take a few months before moving into my brain. He said I had two options. I could have the operation, or I could have the operation. Clearly, he believed he was not only blessed with the gift of being a top-class surgeon, but he also fancied himself as being a comedian. I had to laugh. It was compulsory, as I was always going to be on the wrong side of the scalpel. He said the operation would be to remove my primary salivary gland, as well as the lymphatic nodes in my neck. He also told me that after the operation, I would have to undergo neuron beam therapy for a few weeks, which apparently is worse than chemotherapy. There was only one clinic that handled this, as it was based on nuclear technology, and the only place in South Africa with a facility is next to Kooberg Power Station, a nuclear facility near Cape Town. I would also have to undergo a substantial amount of physiotherapy. I decided to wait a week. I wanted to go down to the North Coast with Irene for the weekend, and I needed to see Stephen and Jamie to tell them about the operation. All this time, Irene was with me. She knew the score. We discussed the situation at length. I said that the only reason I could think of why I was facing this challenge was to test my faith. I said if that were the case, then I was up for the challenge. I said that I would have the operation and I would undergo physiotherapy. I said I would not need neutron beam therapy, nor would I have any paralysis on any part of my face. I would be clear of cancer after the operation. That was my statement of faith, on which I would never waver. I can honestly say that I was never worried about the situation. My faith was strong. It was unwavering. That evening, Irene and I went out for dinner. She suggested I start eating more healthily and take some supplements. I've never really followed a healthy and balanced diet. I'm a red meat and potatoes man and only eat vegetables when my mother is around, which is almost never. I can easily consume a kilogram of biltong in a week. I definitely watch what I eat. How else do you avoid doing damage to your face with a fork? I also enjoy my Odemeister brandy and Coke, liquid form, not the powder variety. Proper Coke, not the tasteless diet versions. I rejected her suggestion out of hand. I said that if this were a test of faith and I changed my eating and drinking habits, then how would I know whether it was my faith or my diet that had won the day? Nonsense. I was not about to change anything. I was going to show my body who was the boss, with my faith alone. We went to the North Coast for the weekend. And on the Saturday morning, I sat down with Stephen, Jamie and Annie to explain that I was going to have an operation, but all would be fine. Earlier in the week, I'd phoned Annie to tell her and how I needed to sit with the boys to explain it. So it was not a surprise to her. After telling the boys, they went to get their things for the weekend, and Annie asked to speak to me. She asked me, just in case something happened, whether my assets were still in a trust for the kids, and whom should she contact? I was speechless. I suppose I should never have expected anything less from her, but I'm an optimist, so I live in hope that someday she will see the light. Her greatest challenge and lesson is learning to deal with greed, power, and money. I pray regularly for her. I pray that she is able to make the right choices. We returned to Johannesburg and I went in for the operation. I had always spoken to the surgeon and made him promise that he would not touch any facial nerves, irrespective of whether they were cancerous or not. I told him he could remove anything, but if there was cancer in the nerves, then my faith would cure it. He agreed, and I trusted him to honor his word. Eventually, after waiting all day, 12 hours, in fact, I was admitted. I came out a few hours later, and Irene and Brett were waiting for me. Irene wanted to stay the night, but I chased her home. She was worn out and needed rest. She tried to argue, but I'm a stubborn fool at the best of times, and powered by morphine, I was at the top of my game. I woke up in the middle of the night and my bottom lip was not cooperating. In fact, it was like it wasn't there, a bit like civil service employees. You see them, but they do nothing. I was angry. I wanted to call the surgeon, but I did not have his number. I wanted to call Irene, but I did not want to wake her up. So I waited, plotting how I would tackle the surgeon. Being full of drips and drains and having other interesting attachments restricting my movement was not going to deter me. I was going to have my shot at him. Irene arrived early in the morning and immediately told me that the surgeon had told Brett and her to assure me that he had not cut any nerves but had worked around them, so I would experience some temporary paralysis of my bottom lip, which would hopefully only last a couple of months. After another 4 days in hospital, I was eventually allowed home. The next day, we flew to Durban to spend a week on the north coast to recuperate. When we returned to Johannesburg, I went to see the surgeon. He had received the results from the post-operation analysis and biopsies. He was pleased to tell me that I would not need neutron beam therapy. I knew that already, so did not share in his delight. I felt like saying, "I told you so," but decided to behave myself and keep quiet. I underwent intensive physiotherapy for the next few months. I have since been back for checkups, and I am clear. I have no cancer, have no paralysis of any facial muscle, just a long scar to remind me how strong my faith is. There is no doubt that the prayers I received from my loved ones and friends helped contribute to the healing, but to me, this test was about my faith. I recently performed my second baptism. Kyle's best friend, Eva, asked me to baptize her. Now, Eva is like a daughter to Irene, so it was very special that we all shared as a family. As I said, I am truly blessed. I know that I have passed the test of my faith. I believe that this has now opened the door to the most exciting and rewarding journey for Irene and me. We have proven ourselves to be loyal, faithful, and obedient servants to God, Yahweh. We are now able to fulfill the role and purpose that He planned for us so long ago. Eventually, we made the right choices. We are not a victim of circumstance. We create the circumstances from the choices we make. I have been told by many spiritual people that I am a teacher, a healer. I guess I never really understood or accepted that huge responsibility until now. I'm extremely humbled and thankful for the opportunity to work as a servant of Yahweh in His name and for His glory.